From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, with talks between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un reportedly under discussion for November, South Korea and the U.S. canceled the second part of their annual Ulchi Freedom Shield exercise. The South Korean won strengthens against the U.S. dollar with the exchange rate in the 1,301 range for the first time in about 10 and a half months. And the Korea Development Institute upwardly adjusts its growth forecast for South Korea's economy this year to 3.2%, mainly due to the AI boom. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Che. In an unprecedented decision, South Korea and the United States have scaled down their annual combined military exercise currently underway. The two sides announced a move in the wake of U.S. President Donald Trump's instructions for the Pentagon earlier this week and his attempt to revive diplomacy with North Korea. Baek Ju-yeon has more.
The Trump administration has shortened the South Korea-U.S. Ulchi Freedom Shield exercise to 5 days from 11. On Wednesday, just 3 days into the annual combined exercise, South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff announced that the training will end Friday. South Korea and the U.S. initially planned to stage the defense portion of the drills until Friday and start the strike-back phase next week. North Korea has long criticized the second part of the joint drills as a rehearsal for an invasion. The allies said they are also scaling back their live-fire field training exercises.
How do you respond to folks who say that you are prioritizing the interests of adversaries in North Korea over our longtime partners by scaling back these military exercises?
No, I'm making it much safer.
With the U.S. midterm elections fast approaching amid the protracted war against Iran, U.S. President Donald Trump announced earlier this week that he had instructed Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to substantially reduce the joint exercise, citing his good relationship with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and South Korea's refusal to assist the U.S. in Iran.
Kim Jong-un has always treated me with great respect.
The U.S. Department of War said in a statement that the adjustments to the military exercise will not downgrade its intended training objectives and will still preserve the allies' essential readiness. But the Joint Chiefs Chairman had to cancel his inspection of the exercise today due to the unprecedented decision to cut the annual drills short. The South Korean side says the allied forces will discuss ways to achieve the objectives of the exercise going forward. Baek Ju-yeon, KBS World Radio News.
U.S. President Donald Trump has increasingly voiced his desire to revive summit diplomacy with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. According to American media outlets, Trump is looking to hold another in-person meeting with Kim before the end of the year. Rosenbach has more.
U.S. President Donald Trump is pushing his aides to set up a meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un as early as this fall, according to a Wall Street Journal report on Tuesday. Citing an anonymous U.S. official, the journal said Trump has privately discussed the possibility of meeting with Kim during his next trip to Asia, which could happen in November for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Gathering in Shenzhen, China. With victory over Iran still a distant prospect, Trump seems to be hoping for an achievement, like the resumption of stalled denuclearization talks, that could mark the pinnacle of his foreign policy. Analysts suggest that Trump's latest order to reduce joint military exercises with ally South Korea, while touting his close ties with Kim, aims to set the stage for this. But many believe it will be a difficult feat, considering the North has significantly strengthened its nuclear weapons and ballistic missile capabilities since Trump and Kim last met 7 years ago, while also bolstering relations with Russia and China. When Trump was in Asia last year, he expressed hopes of meeting with Kim, and Pyongyang reportedly signaled some openness, but U.S. officials said nothing materialized due to timing and logistical issues. Rosine Park, KBS World Radio News.
The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index plunged nearly 6% on Wednesday, tumbling into the 6,400 range. According to the Korea Exchange, the KOSPI ended the session at 6,471.17, down 398.66 points, or 5.8% from the previous trading day. The index fell as low as 6,400.81 during the session, briefly threatening to drop below 6,400.
The tech-heavy KOSDAQ closed at 824.46, down 9.74 points, or 1.17% from the previous session. The South Korean won strengthened against the U.S. dollar by 14.11, trading at 1,397.71 per dollar as of 3:30 p.m. South Korea's economy will likely expand 3.2% in 2026, driven by stronger-than-expected global demand fueled by the artificial intelligence boom, according to an assessment by a state-run think tank. The Korea Development Institute on Wednesday upwardly adjusted its growth forecast for South Korea's economy this year from a previous estimate of 2.5%. The KDI attributed this revision primarily to higher-than-anticipated global demand for semiconductor products, which is boosting exports and investment in facilities. The demand is expected to enhance private consumption in 2027. As a result, the think tank forecasts that economic growth in 2027 will reach 2.2%, up 0.5 percentage point from its earlier projection. South Korea's household credit has exceeded 2 quadrillion won, or around 1.4 trillion U.S. dollars, for the first time. According to provisional data from the Bank of Korea on Wednesday, outstanding household credit stood at an all-time high of nearly 2.02 quadrillion won at the end of June. The amount of credit, or the sum of all credit purchases and loans extended to households by financial institutions, increased 25.9 trillion won from 3 months earlier. Outstanding household loans rose 24.9 trillion won to 1.89 quadrillion won, with mortgages increasing 12.2 trillion won. An appeals court has increased the prison sentence for former National Intelligence Service Director Cho Tae-yong to 2.5 years for offenses related to former President Yoon Suk-yeol's martial law declaration in December 2024. The Seoul High Court on Wednesday added a full year to Cho's sentence, finding him guilty of engaging in political activities in the days after martial law was declared and lifted by publicly denying that Yoon ordered the arrest of certain politicians. Under the National Intelligence Service Act, agency personnel are prohibited from engaging in political activities. The court emphasized that Cho participated directly in political debate by falsely claiming no such order had been given, despite receiving a report about the arrest order on the day martial law was declared. Police say the statute of limitations has expired for sexual solicitation charges in the sexual entertainment for referees scandal at the Korea Football Association. A national police agency official announced that conclusion at a regular press briefing Wednesday, but added that the police will examine whether there are avenues for further investigation. The issue garnered attention after it was revealed that the Ministry of Culture, Sports and Tourism confirmed during a 2016 audit that the KFA provided sexual entertainment to approximately 10 individuals at massage parlors and other establishments. Those individuals included foreign referees and match commissioners during 7 matches between 2011 and 2012, 4 friendlies and 3 World Cup or Olympic qualifiers. South Korea's under-18 men's basketball team defeated Japan 67-64 at the 2026 FIBA U18 Asia Cup at Ahmedabad, India, on Tuesday. Led by coach Shin Jong-seok, the team gave an exhilarating performance to win its final Group D preliminary match, securing first place in the group and a ticket to the quarterfinals. South Korea earlier beat Kazakhstan 95-68 and India 90-61. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Che.
KBS World Radio.